Hallelujah. You want the Spirit of the Lord? What are we in this for if not, huh? I want to thank the worship team for worship. Just a second, my coat's messed up. That needs to go back like that. I thought something was tugging on me, and I... Normally my wife dresses me, so I had to do it myself today. Sorry. What happened? You ain't nothing but a ham dog. Oh, no, the time. Is that what was wrong up there? I wonder why my knee was moving like that. So I just... I think God's so cool. Because God is so... He wants such a deep relationship with us. He can go deep, fun, I mean, crying, emotion, laughing, all that stuff. And it's all the cool thing of the Spirit of God. And God moves in amazing ways at different times. And I long for His Spirit. I long for the Spirit of God. And I'm really thankful for the worship team this morning as they... As they led us into worship and they led us into the Spirit of God, we started crying at different types of songs, not just jump around, and I think those are great songs, but the songs today were kind of like going deep, kind of like, take a good look inside of me. I want to relate with you, God. I want to come just as I am. I want to realize I'm just kind of all messed up, but when I sit in your presence, I can just lean against you and I can just breathe. I can just enjoy life. Because there's a God who gives us life because He gives us His Spirit. And so I really thank the worship team for leading us in a sense of a time where we could just examine our life before the Lord and just hunger for more. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit. First of all, I want to just thank everybody, though, for this last year. I think that 2013 was a great year. I want to thank you for being such a great people, and what a great privilege it is for Carrie and I to lead you and to be your pastors. And we don't take that for granted. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank you, your financial faithfulness. We made it for the year. Hallelujah. God is good. We did a lot of things this year, made a lot of things happen. I did a lot of mission stuff, and God made it all work out at the very end. We made it all, and that was incredible. And I thank you for your faithfulness, and I thank you for loving God, and I thank you for loving other people. I thank you for caring for more than just yourself, and that you want to see the kingdom of God advance, and you want to see people saved, and you want to see people set on fire and released from things. And I thank you for that desire to be all that God wants you to be. And I think it's awesome, and what a privilege it is. We look for something great in 2014. At our New Year's Eve party, I was talking a little bit about what I have for this year, what's been on my heart. And I talked about the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi ends at a very interesting position. It's the end of the Old Testament. We get through all the Old Testament. At the very end, we read the book of Malachi, and the book of Malachi is about the error of forgetting God and just going through the motions. They let their hearts for God grow cold. They were not worshiping other gods like their forefathers did, and because they were worshiping other gods, all sorts of other gods, God put them into exile, and then all of a sudden they come back out of exile, and we're at Malachi, they're coming back out of Babylon, and they're coming back to Jerusalem, and realizing, hey, we don't want to do what our forefathers did. They were worshiping other idols, but what happened is they start rebuilding the temple, and all sorts of great things happen, but then it just kind of went, just kind of ho-hum with God. It was just kind of, well, it's just going through the motions, but nobody's home. Lights on, but nobody's there. It was just put it on autopilot and doing their things. Have you ever done that? Autopilot? Come to worship God, and you're just kind of on autopilot, or reading through your Bible, and you're kind of on autopilot, or just doing your day, and you're on autopilot, and life is just going on and ho-hum. And there were other things that were more important to them, and they lost a relationship with God. It became more dutiful than relational. It became more dutiful than meaningful. And they lost the sacredness of this walk and relationship with God. And that's just what God wanted, was this relationship. What happens is we get 400 years of nothing. No comments from God. No prophets. No scripture writing. Nothing. God's silent for 400 years until John the Baptist comes on the scene. 400 years of silence because the people were not caring. And God says, if you don't care, okay, fine. 400 years. Think about that. We're only a couple hundred years old as a nation. And God just said, they checked out of God for 400 years. And I don't ever want to come to the place where we just ho-hum and we check out and we just start drifting in God. And when you start drifting, I'll tell you what, you can go anywhere and you get into all sorts of stuff we shouldn't be in when you're just a drifter. And that's what was happening with Malachi here. And I don't ever want to be at that place where I'm indifferent to God, or as a church we're indifferent to God, or where our heart grows cold, or where He's not the center anymore. Where God, instead of being the center, you know, we put Him off to the side. Instead of the center, they put Him off to the side. And that's what was happening here. God was not the center of what they were doing. He wanted them to be the center, the His people that He desired to have relationship with. He wanted to love them. He wanted them to love Him. He wanted to have and enjoy what was going on here. And instead of all that, they just kind of put Him out to the side. They were about their own life, but God was kind of out there at the side someplace instead of at the center. We ever slide Him out to the side in our walk? We ever kind of push Him to the side, and it's not about being in the center, but it's about Him out there at the side. Oh, I've got God, but He's kind of out there at the side. Not the very center of my life, but He's in my life. He's in here, but He's just kind of over there. That's good, isn't it? It's better than not having Him at all, isn't it? Yes. That's like getting married to your wife and never seeing her. I mean, ever. Can you imagine that? What'd you get married for? Well, I got married so I could put her in the closet and I could go out and do my own stuff. And so when I came home, though, I would have food. When I came home, I would have clean clothes. That's why I got married. I wanted food and clean clothes. But I don't want relationship. Now, I don't know anybody who gets married for those reasons, just those reasons. Some guys do, but no, we get married because we want a relationship. We love that person. We're wowed by him. We're just, I'm in love, and I don't care who knows. I mean, we're just in love. And when we're in love, it's not about going through the motions. It's about relationship. But even in marriages, can't they kind of get, over time, and get ho-hum? That's why we're doing this marriage thing, to get us, instead of ho-hum, and we're hum-ho. Never mind. Carrie was going to ask me, why did you say that? I go, I don't know. It just came out. I want to always be at the point of wanting more of God, of not wanting less. You're awesome, God, but can you tone it down on my life a little bit? God, yeah, you're really great, but can you be a little more anemic? Can you be a little more natural? Can you be a little more less? I want less. I want it to be less filling. I want it to be more filling. I want to be fat in things of God, not slender. Are we truly living for God? Are we living for ourselves? Is God truly at the center of our life, or is He at the side? Have you ever noticed people that order and they go like this? I'd like to order a salad. I'd like to have a blue cheese dressing on the side. Or I'd like to have a hamburger, and can you put the tomatoes on the side? Why do we put them on the side? Why do we put the dressing that they can put the dressing on for you, but we ask for it on the side? Why do we do that? You know why we do that? Because you want to control how much dressing goes on your salad. You say, I like the salad, put it at the center of my plate here, but put the dressing off to the side so that then I can take what's out the side and I can add whatever I wish to add to here. Or we say, put the tomatoes to the side because we're going, do I want a tomato? Do I not want a tomato? Or do I just want to discard the tomatoes? We put things to the side that we want to either control or things that we want to discard. And my question is God at the center of your life, or do we have him off to the side? And the reason we put him off to the side sometimes is we want to control God's influence, power, and everything else he does in our life. We want to regulate it instead of going, hey, you're the regulator, I'm the person. Hey, I want you in the very center of my life. Put the dressing, douse it on me. Throw those tomatoes everywhere. Is he at the very center? Or do we have him off to the side? And the only reason we put him to the side is because of control that we desire in our walk with God. And the whole aspect of a walk with God is to relinquish control. When you give him your life, you give him control of your life. It's to him. You know, some people, I want heaven but God off to the side. Oh, I want heaven but I want God off to the side. We want sometimes a Burger King God. You know what a Burger King God is? You can have him your way, you know. Have him your way. At Jehovah, you have him your... I mean, we want him... Problem with our society today is some want God, but they want him their own way. Another thing that Burger King says, it says, your way, right away. Burger King, where you are the boss. That just flies right in the face of the Bible. When it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ, we want God our own way, on our own terms, and we want God all the way. And that's where they were at the end of the scripture in the Old Testament in Malachi. They wanted God off to the side. They wanted God their way. We want the king. We want the Burger King, but we want him our way. I want you my way. The way I want to have you. The way I want you to be. The way I want you to be God. The way I want you to heal and move and do. I want you my way, not your way. And that's where they were in Malachi. Oh God, help us to be a people with God at the center of our lives and not at the side. And Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for any time I have pushed you to the side. Forgive me, Lord. I put the theme in 2014, more in 21:4. More in 21:4. Do we want more? Here, I have a little video here for us. Do we want it bigger? Do we want it better?
Hey, what's the biggest number you can think of?
A trillion, billion, zillion.
That's pretty big. How about you?
10.
Okay. How about you?
Infinity.
Can you top that?
Infinity and one.
Actually, we are looking for infinity plus infinity. Sorry.
What about infinity times infinity?
Oh. It's not complicated. Bigger is better. And AT&T has the nation's largest 4G network.
That's exactly what I want with God. I want God to go... That God is so huge... That we're not managing him. We're not putting the dose we want on there. It's infinity times infinity. It's bigger is better. More is better. I want more in 21:4. I want God to be bigger in my life. I want him to be better in my life. I want to enjoy him at a different phase where my mind is going, because he is so huge, so awesome, so wonderful, so dynamic, so powerful, so everything, the very center of my life, that he douses me with everything that he's got. That's what I'm looking for in 21:4. I want more. More. Not less. I want a big God in my life. I don't want a small God. I want more of God. And you know what? God wants more of you. He was looking at the Malachite people and saying, God, I want more of you. Our mission here at Living Faith Fellowship is to make devoted followers of Jesus. I spent all last semester talking about being those devoted followers. The 80 some times where Jesus asks us to follow him, what it means to follow, not be a casual Christian, but be a devoted in all the way. It's important. I have a devotion with Jesus Christ. We're devoted followers, and we're in community. We're going to talk about next week. We have a opportunity to sign up for all of those small groups. So we'll have the small group sign up so you can get involved in one. And this Last part. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. The key to more of God is walking in more of His Spirit. Not off of the side, but the very center of our plate. It's that Spirit that empowers the believers' lives. And I'm going to spend the next number of weeks talking about and exploring this concept of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. And we're going to have a blast. But this morning, I'm just going to do a little bit of introduction. I got about 18 minutes of introduction. Introduction. So you can just sit back. If you're taking notes, just sit back. You can start taking notes next week. The word Spirit is used in the Bible over 600 times. 600 times the word Spirit. It's used 100 times of the Holy Spirit. Three in the Old Testament, interestingly enough, and all the rest of those Holy Spirits are in the New Testament. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The third person of the Trinity. Not a force, not an object, but a person. When we think about that concept of the Trinity, and it's an interesting thing. There's three separate and there are three one. And how do you understand that? How do you describe that to somebody when this natural mind is trying to understand an infinite God and He gives us a concept that blows our mind? But I think He gives us a glimpse of it. When we think about three separate, but all in one, three separate, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but all one. I have a thought of it. And it's a thing, a concept called the triple point. The triple point in thermodynamics of a substance is the temperature and pressure, have the right temperature, the right pressure, at which three phases, gas, liquid, and solid, of that substance coexist in thermodynamic equilibrium. For those of you who know what that means, it means this. I don't know either. No, it means that we have a solid, a liquid, and a gas all at the same time of a substance. And you're going, that can't happen. I've never seen that happen. It gets hot and all of a sudden a cold thing melts off and then all of a sudden then it gets hotter and it boils and it, I mean, we look at it that way. But if you have the right temperature and the right pressure of a substance, you can have it in three phases simultaneously. And I got a picture of it here. This is a picture of rubbing alcohol. It's in a beaker. They're going to put it in a vacuum, going to change the pressure. And they're going to put the right temperature in there. And you're going to see this at three phases. You're going to see it boiling with ice crystals and a liquid. But boiling means that it's releasing gas, right? Boiled ice crystals and a liquid. Watch this. it's just sitting right there. All of a sudden, you see over here, ice crystals forming. Ice crystals are forming. It's starting to form. Oh, look at it. It's bubbling. It's hot. It's actually now releasing a gas. It's got a liquid. It's got bubbles because it's so hot, it's releasing a gas. And it's got ice crystals. We have a solid, a liquid, and a gas all at the same time. And if you look at this, it's going to stay like that. It's not going to all freeze up. Over here, it's all of a sudden, you're going to see it turn back to liquid and to gas. And it's going into all three phases all at the same time. See, it's going back to a liquid over here and gas over there and solid over here. And what the heck is this? This is the triple point. Three phases, three separate identities, a solid, a liquid, a gas, all one, all separate, all at the same time. That is a concept of God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, individual, but all one, separate, but together. That is who we're talking about. We're going to talk about this time. We know God the Father. We know God the Son and Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and His heart and His plan for your life. It's interesting that the word Spirit occurs in the very second verse of the Bible, and it will occur to the fourth to the very last verse of the Bible, and everywhere in between. At the very start, at the very end, Spirit and Spirit, from Spirit to Spirit, because Spirit is so important to God, and it should be so important to us to understand who we are and what the Spirit means. We're Spirit. We're spiritual. It's in our DNA from God because we're created in His image. And God is a Spirit. And we have a spiritual capacity. In Genesis 1:1-2, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I love Joey. Joey will sit there, and that's his Bible memory verse this last couple of weeks. He'll go, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Co-created. How does he say it? He co-created it. Genesis 1:1. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God is there. The Spirit of God is at creation. He shows up at creation. God, in that Spirit, shows up at creation and in 6 days does amazing things. Creates a universe, a world. He creates mankind on that sixth day. And in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our own image according to our own likeness. Our likeness. You see what he says? Not my likeness, our likeness. Why? Because he was talking from the Trinitarian point of view. Hey, we are three. We are one. We're the three musketeers, all for one, one for all. Hallelujah. They always ride in at the right time. They come in to save the day. Thank God for the three musketeers, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the Spirit today. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the clay of the ground and breathed. That word breathed here is the word pneuma. Well, in the Septuagint, they use the word pneuma here, the Greek word, which means pneuma. Pneuma. Wind, air. The Spirit is likened to wind or air. Throughout the Scriptures, it talks about the wind. You can see it moving, but you can't tell where it's coming from. So it is like the Spirit. You can see the effects of the Spirit, but you can't see it. You can just see effects of it all. And he breathes on him. You see, what he does, the Spirit of God goes right into man. The Spirit, the breath of God, his very own Spirit gets breathed into this hunk of mud, this hunk of clay. I was reading and found out that some of the minerals that are in clay and all that stuff are in us. Because we're from the dirt. We're from the clay. And he breathed in him. And man becomes a living being. The Spirit of God got blown into dirt. And man came out. A living being. A living being. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in us. Is in our nostrils. And because we go... And as long as you continue to breathe in and breathe out, the pneuma... You live, and when you quit doing that, you die. You die. It was the Spirit of God that breathed into man and made him come alive. He breathed his Spirit into him. Life is in the Spirit. Life is in the breath, in the pneuma, in the wind. In Job 33:4, he says, the Spirit of God has made me. And the breath of the Almighty gives me life. It's that breath from God, that Spirit from God. We're body, soul, and spirit. We're flesh. We have a soul, a mind, a will, and intellect. And we have this capacity, the spiritual side of us that God breathed into. But Adam falls and he loses his ability to live forever. He was this designed to live forever, but he falls because he was presented with the idea of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know what? After he ate of that fruit, he knew what was good and he knew what was evil. And he just unleashed the evil of sin by what he did on the whole human race. He gained knowledge. He gained knowledge. He also gained sin, but he lost in the garden too. He gained a few things, but what he lost was incredible. He lost in the garden. He lost a special relationship that he had with God. He lost the Spirit of God. And let me say it this way, my observation. Adam lost the fullness of the Spirit. Adam lost the fullness of the Spirit. Some aspect of the Spirit was there because they kept him alive for at least 900 years. Then he died. He lost the aspect of the fullness of the Spirit that I think Adam was created with in the garden. And he walked with God and had a relationship that was amazing with his Father God. He loved it. He enjoyed it until sin was found. And then everything was lost. He lost it. He lost this fullness of the Spirit. It was damaged because he was damaged. And this concept of understanding the Spirit from God got lost. And he lost the garden. He got kicked out of the garden. He lost all over the place. He lost a relationship. He lost the garden. He lost the spirit. It got damaged in him because he was damaged. Not that the spirit is damaging, but he couldn't process that spirit anymore the way he could. It was kind of working, kind of not. I was down at the little trailer down in Orofino, and I went down there, and we turned the lights on, and a few lights come on over here, and all these other lights don't come on, or they come on really dim. And then we opened up the refrigerator, and all the stuff in there was spoiled. It was gone, and all the meat and all that stuff, and we had a deep freeze there, and it was all gone. So, behold, he stinketh, Lord. And found out what happened. And what happened was, the main line that came in, Sam helped me, by the way. If you ever need, well, don't, I can't, he's good to me. The main line that came in, there's two main lines that come in, a neutral and then another deal. And it comes, the one side of 110, we dug it up and we found out it was literally powder. So that what was happening, it was not fully charging everything because it was simply powder there. And so it was kind of jumping across the line there, but not giving you much power. And it was kind of all messed up. It was just powder. And we took that piece out, spliced it back, but it was literally this powder there. And so our lights were kind of on and off, and things were failing. The circuits weren't working right, and we lost stuff in the fridge, and all of it was like we thought we had power. We thought we had power. We thought it was there, but it wasn't, because it had deteriorated. This connection where it was connected together was deteriorating. It had corroded and therefore literally turned to dust. And we lost the power at the place. Adam lost something in that fall. I don't understand the totality, but I'm trying to prove that. But he lost something of the Spirit. He lost what he was created to have. He lost what he was designed by God to walk in. He lost some of it. He lost the fullness of his Spirit. He lost the power. And then we find out throughout the Old Testament that the Spirit comes and resides, and then it leaves, and it comes and it does stuff, but it leaves, and it never stays. It's never full. It's there on and off and on and off. But we hear God's desire. God is bummed about what happened to Adam and what he lost, that fullness. And all of a sudden, God desires something, and he begins to prophesy about it. He prophesies in Ezekiel, and he says this. This is 600 years before Christ shows up. 600 years before it happened, God is saying this. Ezekiel 11, "Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit. I'll put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments, that they may obey what I said, unlike Adam, they may do what I'm asking, they may put me at the center, not to the side, and do them, and they shall be my people, and I'll be their God, and this is going to be so much fun. I'll be God, they'll be people, we'll have relationship, it's going to be awesome, just like I designed at the very beginning. I can hardly wait, but it's 600 years. But he's so excited, he's got, guess what? Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something. I'm so excited about it, I got to tell you. 600 years before it happens, I got to tell you. In Joel also talks about it. 800 years before it happens. Joel's even before Ezekiel. He's talking about what's going to happen. I can hardly wait for this. God is just hardly waiting. Adam, I gave him his spirit. He messed it up. He lost the power. It all turned to dust. It corroded it. But I desired that man walk in my spirit. And Joel says that 800 years, God's, tell him the secret, Joel. Tell him. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit. I'm going to pour it out on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on your maidservants and on your men servants, or men servants and maidservants, or both of them, I will pour out my spirit in those days. 800 years from now. But I'm so excited. I had to tell you. I'm excited for that day. I couldn't come because the joint connection that had to reconnect that line to give me power to the house, that joint connection to reconnect us was through the cross at Calvary, through Jesus Christ. And we weren't going to be connected to that full power until 800 years later for Joel, 600 years later for Ezekiel, till when Jesus Christ would go to the cross and make connection for us. Jesus, he tells about it. It's only going to be 10 days later. Guess what's going to happen in 10 days? I think he was so excited. This is after he paid the penalty on the cross, after he went to Calvary, after he was beaten and bruised, after he was marred, after he was torn apart, after he was devastated, all that happened to him, after he was deserted, everybody deserted him, after all of that, he comes back, walks around here for 40 days after his resurrection, and then right as his ascension, 10 days later, Pentecost is going to happen, and he goes, guess what, fellas? Joel said it 800 years ago. Ezekiel said it 600 years ago. And I'm telling you, 10 days. Guess what? What my dad has been so excited about is about to take place. Behold, I send the promise of my Father. Of my Father, God, Jehovah, has been so excited upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. Jesus does his deal. He makes connection. And now they're going to charge the line on Pentecost. All right, you guys ready? 10 days later, they're getting ready to throw the switch. We made the joint happen. We've got everything going. We've thrown out all the dust. We've made it connection. We've got it all. And all of a sudden, in Acts chapter 2. What I've been waiting for a long time. Acts chapter 2 comes. 10 days later happens. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly, it sounds like it was suddenly, and God goes, suddenly, holy cow, it's been 800 years I've been pulling the lever, till I could get to this point. Over time, over eons, and then, suddenly, for you was suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Something from God. Something from heaven. As of a rushing, mighty pneuma. The spirit, the pneuma, the rushing wind. The sound from heaven. The 800 year promise from Ezekiel, the 600 year promise from Joel. Suddenly, the lever and the sound of a rushing mighty wind as this power filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were filled. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. God waited from Adam thousands of years. Told us his secret. And then what was lost in the fall. What was damaged, what was broken dust, God hits and restores. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. My observation here is Christ restored the fullness of the Spirit that Adam lost. Christ restores the fullness of the Spirit that Adam lost. Let me bring this to a close. You know, I've been thinking about more of the Spirit. And it was really interesting. I asked Katanya if I could share this story. Katanya came over Friday night, I guess. Was it Friday? Friday night comes over and we had people over there. She just walked right in, didn't care who was there. And said, "Would you pray for me? I want more of God." And I mean, she didn't just go pray for me. She fell on the floor and just started weeping. "I just want more of God. I just want more of God." I talked to Tommy earlier and he said, yeah, when he came home from lunch, Tanya was over in the corner, just kind of huddled over there weeping. It was at lunchtime. She came to our house at 7 or something. She was over there just weeping, wanting more of God. When she came into the room and she shared all that. We had people there. She didn't care. She just was vulnerable sharing where she was at. And she just wanted more of God. And then just fell to the floor. Just cried. We surrounded her and prayed for her. That she would enjoy more of the Spirit of God. And what she said, I'm tired of just existing. I'm tired of just going through life. I'm tired of just being who I want to grow. I want to be more of what God wants me to be. I want to enjoy His presence. She'd been listening to so many worship songs on the line and just people who are crying out for the Spirit of God, for His presence to come, for His presence to fall. And all of a sudden, it did something inside of her. But it didn't just do something inside of her. While she was there, I was challenged. We were all challenged in the room going, "God, that's what I want. I want that too. I haven't been doing, but what you're doing here and asking and it's, I want that. I want that Spirit." And we prayed for her and man, she just, a couple days after that, she just walks along and just thinks about what the Spirit would want to do and then she does it. It's been awesome. I'm not trying to put her on a pedestal by any means. And she would say, "Please, don't put me on this pedestal." Because she's very fallible. We all are. But there was a desire in her heart that said, "I just want to do what the Spirit wants me to do." And she's been listening. And it was so cool. We were talking to Christian and he was talking about some things that were happening. And Tanya happened to just be in there. And after it was all over, she just goes, "Christian, I would like to pray for you. Can I pray for you?" Now, I love my children. They love each other. But not that much. It just, "Sure, would you pray for..." Sure, but this was instigated from someplace else. This wasn't just what you're supposed to do. It was like it came like a wind. And she steps up and she starts praying for him. Oh, it's on holy ground. I couldn't believe the words that she was saying, what she was praying. And when it all got done, man, her brother just gives her a big old hug. Genuine. And there was a moment that went, feels good. This is warm. This is awesome. This moment is a memory that I'm going to remember. Something simple, but inspired by God, inspired by His Spirit, that all of a sudden it took a natural thing and made it something supernatural. This encounter. I long for more of God. I want that. I want that for us. I want that for this church. I want that for you personally. I want that for your family. I want that for your friends. I want people to become to know and understand what it's like to walk in the fullness of God. It's so awesome. It's so wonderful. He has so much that we miss. The connection's there, but sometimes we're not looking. We don't turn on the lights. And I want us to be inspired through this series to turn on the lights, to listen to the Spirit, to ask God. God can take a person who has a hard heart, and you come over and you pray for him, and you pray for him the words inspired by the Holy Spirit and melt the hard-hearted person. The words you speak over someone can take that person who doesn't believe in God and make them scratch their head and wonder. The power of the Holy Spirit is what God intended for us to walk in each and every day. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fill us anew and afresh. Holy Spirit, have your way. Let him move on you, church. Let him move on you. I want God more. I want the Spirit more. In 21:4. I don't want it to be cliche. I want to enjoy the fullness of the Spirit as it changes our life. Let's pray. Father, God, thank you for giving us your Spirit. Thank you for being so excited about it you couldn't wait to tell us all ahead of time. Thank you for the power that it brings. But help us, Lord, not to take it for granted. Help us that when we come in for a worship service, we don't just put you at the side, but we put you at the center and say, charge me up, O Holy Spirit. Let me hear the word of the Lord. Let me worship you with all of my heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. Let me enjoy that relationship. Let me live walking in that Spirit. Lord, forgive us for where we've let it grow idle or cold. Revive us afresh, Lord, by being Spirit-led people. We want it, Lord, more. In 21:4. In Jesus' name. Amen. This next number of weeks, I'm going to be talking about this Holy Spirit that leads us, that empowers us, that it's our helper, that undoes us and redoes us. Oh, only He can undo you and redo you, give you a new do. But to give you a new do, He has to undo. And that's always been the scary part for us. But the new do, ooh, it's you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you want prayer for anything, come up here. Want prayer for the Holy Spirit more? Come on up here. If you want to come up to the altar and just spend some time with Him, you're welcome to do that. If you want to accept Jesus Christ, come on up here. There'll be people who will pray for you. But as you walk out of here, can you walk out with this kind of commitment, please? Lord, I'm excited about what you want to do in my life in this next number of months. I give you free reign. I don't block you out. I'm not going to go, no, I can't. No, that doesn't, no, lock, no. But I'm going to go, search me, God. Give us that courage, Lord. Hey, love you guys. And I'm really excited about what we're going to go through here.